Hello and welcome to another weekly episode of the Beer Fridge Podcast. Your home of real beer, real breweries, real opinions. This week we talk Willy Wonka, Beer 52. We got a new fucking tune, motherfuckers.
One, two.
Good. Hello and welcome to another weekly episode of the Beer Fridge Podcast, your home of real beer, real breweries, real opinions. As always, if you've listened to this podcast, make sure you subscribe, hit that ding-a-ling-a-ling to be notified of all the latest episodes. If you're watching on YouTube, make sure you do the same, hit that ding-a-ling-a-ling, subscribe, helps us out massively, and make sure also you go and visit our brewery partners in the form of McCall's, Sheep and Wolves Clothing, Mirakai, Stuart and Bennett. Go and visit their websites right now and grab some fantastic beers. Show your support, patreon.com/beerfridgepodcast. My name is Gavin. I've got my usual drinking buddies in the form of Scott, MD and Callum. Good evening, gentlemen.
Oh, hello, hello.
Good evening.
Hello. Good eve.
How the fuck are we doing?
Yeah. I'm very well, to be fair. That intro was awesome, so fair play, well done, yeah. Gav.
Randy, one point, and
I'm feeling it.
Nice to have it launched finally.
I'm feeling it. I've had that tune, just the song blaring in the car. There's some fucking bass in that fucking bitch.
And how long have you been doing discos at the local community centre?
As long as Mr. Andy
Fisher. Yeah, there's some serious bands. Where are they? Are they straight at
what was that?
Straight to local radio, are they cans?
These are my... No, you know what it is? It's because I'm doing an away podcast, I'm in Plymouth. You don't... You haven't seen these... Well, you have seen these cans.
What are they? Skullpuckers?
No. I've had them for weeks. Just because I'm closer to the camera. I don't have my usual.
We can see the screws and everything.
The full shebang.
You can see my face a little bit closer. Good thing and a bad thing. I'm not entirely sure. You can also.
You've got your smoothing on, so you look all right.
Yeah, no. I'm all right. Got my work. Nah, fucking shit. And I also got my hair cut at the weekend, so.
I noticed.
Fresh.
The lines are fresh. That won't last very, very long. What also won't last very long is the beer. That's in the vessel at the moment. Do what we normally do, go around the table, see what we're drinking to kick things off on G Podcast. Mr. Muir, what you got?
Marbles. Fall of Marbles.
Fall of Marbles.
Fall of Marbles.
So Marbles have been good.
So Marble was my bruiser box for March, and I'm currently drinking Brick by Brick, which is a red ale, 4.8%, and a lovely 500ml can. So the box from Marble came with 10 500ml cans and a lovely glass with some weather on one side and Marble beers on the other. I'll swing that around. Mm-hmm. We are, and this is the beer. As it suggests, it's a red ale, so it's a beautiful amber colour. It doesn't specify the hops on the can, but I did a little bit of digging on the website, and two out of three I haven't actually heard of before. So it looks as if it's kind of like a British with it's got Mandarina Bavaria in it, but it's also got two hops, Ariana and Callista, which I haven't heard of before. So this one is delicious. It's really mellow, tons of malt as you would expect from a red ale, but it's got a lovely floral hoppy note. But it's not overpowering. It's really, as I say, it's really mellow and soft, and got a fabulous body. It's kind of at the heavy end of cask, I would say. This would just be delicious in cask, I have to say. This would be phenomenal. And it's going down really well. The only other beer that I had from them was their Session Pale, one of the Session Pales, which I think was 3.something%.
Yeah.
And it was delicious as well. It was a really unusual hop combination. It was Equinox and something else. I can't remember. wasn't the Eldorado, Equinox, yeah. But it was lovely. It was quite light on body, but for 3.something%, you know, you can't really argue with that. But yeah, I've been impressed so far. I'm going away at the weekend, so I've been saving the rest of the beers for that. But Gav's had the same box, so he might be a better place.
All right, to tell me. I've got like two cans left. Every single beer has been fucking solid. Literally zero complaints from me. The dry hop blonde has been lovely. Alf, the hazy pale has been really good. I've had the two Westies, they've been decent. No, like, there was a session Westie, which I was like, oh, the word session and Westie, I don't know. But it was Westie enough. And then there's straight up West Coast was fucking lovely. DDH was fantastic. But it's a box to get, by the way, for, what was it, 10 or 12? Would you say, was it 12? Aye, 12. And 500 ml cans and the glass.
10 500 ml cans and a big glass.
Excuse me.
You can't really grumble at that, definitely not.
Can't grumble at all. Fucking solid box. So one of my favorite boxes of the year so far. Definitely. Every beer's been easy drinking. No thinking drinking, excuse me. Other beer room, Gavin. So I would highly recommend you grab that box as well. Scott, what'd you get?
I've not broken, or I have broken into my bruiser box, but I've not broken into it for this first beer this evening. As of yet, I'll go maybe beer two will be a bruiser box number from Farmyard. So I have gone big-ish. This is Bayonet Keyboard Commander. So nice. It's a West Coast IPA, Mosaic, Simcoe, Centennial, Columbus, 6%, West Coast, bitter, resiny, piney, hoppy, lovely.
Correct.
Bosch.
Correct.
Uh-huh. That's a good beer. That's a really good beer. We very know good. Alex. Alex is just... Bayonet is just making such really good beers. I'm away, as I mentioned at the start, in Plymouth, and our Bayonet delivery arrived at my door today, so I'm not going to see that until at least tomorrow or the next day. Quite disappointed. It's ready for the weekend, in fairness. the one bit I'm really looking for, it's one of the beers is the, I think it's the Red Ale collab with Powder Monkey. So we knew what Powder Monkey did. I mean, fucking hell. So these two together, fucking buzzing.
Winner.
Cannot wait for that beverage. I will go next because I've nearly finished, and I have had, or nearly had, a Elusive Brewing and Burnt Mill collaboration in partnership with Malt Miller, and it's a West Coast IPA called Living. 5.6%. We know exactly what Elusive do with West Coast beers. They know how to do them correctly, and this is no exception to it whatsoever. The only disappointing bit for myself is because I am away and sitting in a hotel doing this podcast, I don't have a proper glass, so I'm using the little
thimble
glass.
That just means you'll just get four glasses out. So
funnily enough, I've got three of them. So like I said, this Elusive, for a start, just make amazing Westies. Adding burnt milk here is just ridiculous. They make really good. For me, I put them in that kind of overtone bracket where they do really good IPAs, chunky, thick kind of things. And obviously, Malt Miller being the provider of the ingredients, you kind of go wrong with those three mixed together. So I really good West Coast. Not the best I've had, but really good, solid Westie nonetheless. Enjoying it. Mark.
Westie nonetheless.
Westie. Well, right, I'm glad you've came with me last, to be honest, because there's something. So I'm going to write. I'm on Modus Beer. So this is my bruiser box, funnily enough. And I'm on their table beer with collaboration with our friends at Bullhouse. So 3.3% table beer. And on the taste and that, it's lovely. I've got to admit, like, fully flavor, packs a wee bit of punch for being a 3%er, and exactly what I'm looking for a Tuesday, put it that way. But the hop bill on this is unreal. So Idaho 7, Talus, Citra, Cryo, and Motueka, and they've also added Trident hop. So I was like, never heard of Trident, so I had a quick Google, and another kind of citra passion fruity number really brings out the more, what you say, citrus flavors and all the rest of it. But the part that kind of caught my eye on this was Trident Salvo. Okay, now Salvo, if I'm pronouncing that right, and hopefully I am, basically is the new boy on town, if that's the best word. So it's in the same realm as the Spectrums and the Incognito hops and all the rest of it. But this is more of a like a molasses sort of style of hop, like kind of liquid that is poured in, that works on the beta side of the hop. So it basically just amplifies aroma and flavor in beer quite extensively. And it's something I've never heard of. So I was like you say, I was glad you came to me last, because I was trying to do a quick bit of reading up on it. Because honestly, when I smelled
the Furious Eagle, Ray.
100%. But it's actually
quite good stuff, pretty quick. Pass his finger first.
It really, exactly. It's really interesting because, like I said, the flavor that came off this beer, you know what I'm like with table beers? I'm like quite quickly to judge how kind of weak and poor they can be. And there's only a small number, then, of breweries that I feel pull it off really, really well. And you would happily go back and back and back. But this thing is delicious. And I'm not that I was not expecting Modest and Bullhouse to be able to do a really good beer, because the Modest Hells that I had at the weekend was phenomenal. And we've drank plenty of Frank the Tanks and the Bullhouse and that, so we know it's James and the gang make some really good beer. So,
but extensively tested, I think you could say about Frank the Tank.
I think there's been a few definitely dents in the old tank made getting stuck in that. But it's something, it's probably going to have to be a wee bit more research done, but just on the quick scan of it, I feel like it's something that is going to make a little bit more of an impact, especially with the it's basically what people are saying about it is it's like having a more impactful dry hop, but on the hot side. So you're getting all the aroma without it having any effects. It's increasing yields. It's adding a far better aroma on the finishing product. And it's a wee bit more cost saving as well from an ingredient and hop balance point of view so far. So again, I've skimmed it, but what I've got from reading and then tasting, it's maybe one to keep an eye out for moving forward.
Well, if it's a box, whether it be the Modest one or the Marble one, which Callum mentioned, if those two boxes kind of tickle your pickle and you're interested in getting them, and you are a first-time customer to Bruiser, you can get your first box for £12. And you can go to bruiser.beer. 12 shillings, and you can go to the website, use the code Beer Fridge Podcast, and you get your first box for £12. And we can say from personal experience, unlike other beer subscriptions, it is easy to pause, it is easy to cancel. Like, literally, go on the website, click a button, it's paused. It's fucking easy as fuck.
Aye, 2 minutes, you're not going rundin' the loop. BrewDog. Or
I did mine after Christmas. I paused mine January, February, resumed for March. Easy peasy.
So easy. So head over to bruiser.beer and
don't get fucking plagued with. I think I had one email.
Emails to James.
I had one email.
James at Beer 52. He's a prat.
Go to bruiser.beer and get yourself signed up. Like I said, use code Beer Fridge Podcast. Get your first box for £12. Literally, if you get the marble box for £12, in fact, anyone.
What? I met a bruiser in the wild on Friday.
Oh, did you?
mentioned it right out of the blue. No podcast mentioned, no nothing. Pretty much just said, oh, I'd subscribe to... I was talking about what beers were on in the pub that were there. Mm-hmm. And he said, oh, I subscribe to this thing called Bruiser. I was like, oh, do you, by any chance? So I know them quite well. He was singing their praises, saying that he had really enjoyed all the boxes he'd had so far. And he was giving sales props to one of his mates who had managed to snag, I think, 4 or 5, their friend group with Bruiser subscriptions. So just shows you that even in central Scotland, it's all the rage, the old Bruiser boys.
In the wild,
just randomly. I thought it would only be after I'd brought it up, I might get a few people say, oh, they had tried that before or whatever. But I, honest, within 5 minutes of having a conversation, I was out with a work thing on Friday, and subscriber to Bruiser, and chatting away with it and seeing what they'd like and what breweries they had picked and what ones they were looking forward to. Did I have any, once obviously the conversation had went on, recommended a few breweries and stuff to try, and some of the smaller ones that are on the list, because he'd had a few big hitters, Cloudwater and Track and things like that.
Yeah.
I was singing Sure Shot's praises, for example. Said if you've had Cloudwater and Cloudwater and Track, you might as well complete
the... walk across the road.
you might as well complete the industrial estate and get some Sure Shot in your life. It was good.
Fun enough, we're going to mention Manchester in a second, and a certain beer festival that happens the weekend just passed, or 2 weekends ago. But I feel like we should mention, obviously, we started the podcast with, and if you're watching on YouTube, and you'll see all of our Instagram and our social media pages, and everything is kind of changing at the moment. I feel the look and the aesthetic of the Beer Fridge podcast. New logo, new intro, doing a GoFundMe and stuff to help us accelerate that kind of growth and that change for us. And I feel like we owe it to the listeners of the podcast just to talk about it just briefly, because we're quite quick to talk about other breweries doing rebranding and stuff and poking holes in it and stuff and try to understand why. And I feel like we should address that from our point of view and at least be fair, because we're quick to come to assumptions with breweries, so I feel like we need to have that conversation as well and get an understanding from a listener's point of view. Right, podcast has been running for 5 years. Why have the guys decided now that they want to change things about? And it's a simple
just
case
so that I can announce that I'm going to leave. the fucking
puppy. We've traded him. We've traded you.
No, he's been headhunted by this weekend craft dog beer. The
podcast. All right.
Traded, mate. Honestly, we got a washing machine for you. Get me taking it.
That sounds by the way. He's won.
Yeah. Oh, yes.
On the trade. Well, on that, I'll see you later.
I nearly made a bad comment there, but I decided not to.
But I think it's
thanks for your points.
We've been doing the podcast now for 5 years. It seemed and taking a kind of, not so much a vote, but getting an opinion on what the next kind of step is for the podcast and talking to people within the industry. Everyone within the industry was like, great idea. Everyone out with the industry who we know, whether it be friends and family, no, we love the logo and another podcast. Oh no, we love the logo. We love what you guys are already got. But everybody who's in the brewing world were like, do it, fucking do it. Like we'd had comments from Fierce, from Stuart, from other breweries going, fucking, yeah, do it. Like, and so off the back of those, I was like, that seems like the sensible idea for us. Like that logo was made on a phone 5.5 years ago. Like the natural step. It served us tremendously well.
And for me, it's the... I feel like it's like the natural progression. We've kind of, dare I say, established ourselves a little bit. We've kind of got a small... I agree. Yeah. I think that. And then,
I agree as well, mate.
But and with that, I think comes there's I know the last couple of weeks, there's, like you say, been more expectations on the quality and the like, ensuring we're delivering what we want, you know. And I'm saying that in a really kind and generous way with regards to that. But at the same time, I just feel it's like the next evolution for us. There's a few things that you say we've got, I'm hoping, in the pipeline that's a little bit more big fish kind of stuff that we'll announce if it gets rubber stamped, if and when. But I just think clean, fresh, let's take it to the next level, basically. And kind of,
I'm just raging that I'm going to have to get a new T-shirt for the festival season with the new logo on it.
Oh, that's just, but you want a fresh new T-shirt, you should be getting one every year, mate.
And this is the point of the acceleration of this rebrand and doing the GoFundMe page and stuff, because how we've done it for the last 5 years is we do dribs and drabs at a time. All right, that 1 month we might get some business cards, and then a couple of months later, all right, we'll get some new T-shirts, and then a couple of months later, we might get some stickers. It's the way of the world and the way of the beer world in general. Like, cash flow isn't tremendous, and cash flow in the podcast world isn't fucking great either. We do this purely for the love of doing it. If we did it for money, then we'd be fucked. It would not be happening. And I can safely say that.
Yeah, have you not been paid, like? No.
My bank gets taking a pound in this fucker. Over the last 5 years.
True that.
And it's purely for the love of doing it. And you guys listening every single... And you see for me personally, when... It's not even when I'm there. It's when you guys are visiting places and going to these festivals and across Scotland and North England and stuff, and you're the guys from the Beerfish podcast. I am absolutely fucking buzzing.
I still can't believe it. Like, on the odd occasions where we've been at events and been, you know, I'm not going to be such a prima donna to say that my face has been recognised, but the logo on the hoodie or the T-shirt or whatever has been recognised, and folk come up and speak to you, and you think to yourself, I'm just blathering with my pals, and you know, folk are actually out there listening. So the support is very much appreciated.
Exactly. So the idea behind the rebrand is, one, fresh look; two, let's step up a gear here. We're going big fish hunting big time. Some things in the works in the background that are very, very close to getting stamped, and stuff on YouTube, stuff on here as well, if you're listening audio-wise in the podcast. So lots of projects that we're working on, which tremendously excited about, and coincide with, obviously, this rebrand. And obviously, Anonymous Tipper gets a fucking credit as well. Fucking me, hole. Now that I said Anonymous, you said who? Oh, no, me.
Anonymous.
Anonymous.
Willie Bollock Abramovich.
That's the fun enough. The reason why I'm quite happy you said Willie, to be fair, because a Willy Wonka beer festival happened. Was it last weekend? I think it was last weekend.
Was this along the same lines as the Willy Wonka World in Glasgow? It was basically a warehouse with a bouncy castle in it, and that was pretty much it.
Well, almost. You're very, very close. So, you guys, we will remember our trip to the Manchester Craft Beer Festival and that venue, that amazing venue for the Manchester Craft Beer Festival. So that weekend just passed. We're recording this on the 26th. So weekend just passed, there was a festival called the IBC Festival, so the International Craft Beer and Cider Awards were the people that arranged it, and it was their festival. I had it in the same venue, so if you cast your mind back to that venue, and if there was a long entry hallway, and then if you remember where Johnny Garrett was doing his talks on that stage bit, where you went up the ramp. It almost finishes at the end of the ramp, so it's not as it doesn't take up the whole venue. Right, it just takes up maybe a third
section.
Aye,
still a big area.
Still big.
So they
still
had the five-a-side pitch style basketball court style curtains in between the two. Did they just to section it off? That'd be quite funny. Just a big green curtain.
Was there noise playing badminton next door?
I was going to say, can you keep the noise down because there are curly boys playing badminton over in the corner there? Thanks very much.
may as well have been because that I suspect that would have been more exciting than the actual beer festival itself. Comments and feedback off the back of this festival has been one for people on the outside looking at it and who didn't go has been fucking hilarious. People that went, by God, fuck me.
How much did people pay for their tickets for this? Was it a buy?
37.5, I think it was.
Is it 37?
£37.50.
Wow. I've seen people saying 40 quid.
It might have been with admin fees on the top, remember? But I think the ticket was £37.50.
And
you have to buy the beer when you go there, do you know?
Tokens. So you got five tokens. You got five tokens, I believe, with your ticket. So
five drinks.
There was cask, there was keg, there was a couple of independent breweries there as well doing their own thing. So you could get the beer similar to like your Beer 52 kind of stands. So a couple of the breweries had their stands, and then there was like camera style kegs and casks, excuse me. There's Twitter is all over this, and the reason why I said Willy Wonka is because this is how they have described it: Willy Wonka type scam. No one there. Beer's not great. A great story to shout about. The people who were serving the beer, it's not their fault because they didn't have a fucking clue about the beer. So people are going to this thinking it's a beer 50, beer event, and they're going, oh, where's the beer from? What's in the beer? And they're like,
So they were just, they would have been agency staff that would have been hired to work and pour beer.
Fancy a weekend.
It's not as simple as that.
Exactly. But the flip side of it is as well, with the five tokens that you got, I believe you weren't actually able to use them. So the independents, you couldn't use them at the independent. You couldn't use them at the keg or cask because the keg wasn't on and the cask wasn't working either. The only place people could use them initially was there was a stand with literally bottles and cans of beer. Almost like a tombola style thing. You see it at tombolas and you'll fucking spin it. You'll pick a name out or a number out and then you're, oh, fucking 23 and you take it. But all the beers, every single one of the beers almost were ones that you can buy in the fucking supermarket. There were craft beers, but craft beers that you can buy from the fucking supermarket.
Was the stuff that was on the table, was that as served? Like it was just lying on the table and you just picked it up, like you got it off the table. It'd have been warm in that.
It's fucking howling.
Honestly, Callum, it was like, I don't know if you've seen the pictures yet. It was like two full day, and this is a particularly awful local reference, but two Eastern Summer Fair full day tables, put together. I don't even know if they had a tablecloth. It was like raffle beers, like kidney beers. That's like four Budweisers with raffle tickets stuck to them. It looked like that.
Oh no,
sad, very very sad. That's
brutal.
And like Gavin said, they were off supermarket, so you could have went to Tesco and got four cans of it and sat in the park.
Aye, quite easy. And
probably had a mere nice time.
Oh, definitely.
There would have been more folk in the park. Get what I mean? So,
aye, more folk in the park. It was in Manchester, and I mean, by fuck, it's Manchester, as we said, heaving with some of the best fucking breweries in the country. Mm-hmm. And the place was empty. So I'm just going to, while we're chatting away here, forward you a picture or pictures of the event while it was going on. And there's literally nobody there.
I'm reading about it just now, and it says the average attendance was something like between 50 and 100 people for the four events.
Aye.
There was a total of 800 people, mate, over four
So they were asking people to pay like up to 40 quid, and then I think by either the last session or the second last session, they were giving tickets away. I'd seen things on Instagram and Twitter going, if you want a ticket, just turn up. Literally, just turn up and you'll get in, which is fucking mental.
Coming for a laugh, that's crazy.
Absolute mental. So I put out some feelers on social media, asked for some feedback from people that had been, and also asked for a statement from the organisers. Fun enough, they've ignored it. But
sound like a proper news person there. You're in danger of sounding like actual media.
I thought I would actually
We asked the Beer Festival for comment, but they declined to do so.
I thought I would do my
role,
due diligence, and try and get do some proper.
Well, definitely try and get something for their view, to see if there's something we missed or exactly. The public missed. Was there something that went wrong? Did you get stiffed by something? Was something supposed to go better?
I'd seen something come up that did suggest that there was something from their end that they got let down on as well. So just to understand, get a comment from them to go, yep, fair enough, it didn't go the way we wanted to do, X, Y, and Z went wrong, we weren't expecting it, blah, blah, blah.
It does show you how, obviously it was poorly attended to begin with, but that maybe because people heard, I don't know how much is leaked about what it's going to be like, and people have decided not to go, people have turned up the first half hour and then decided, nah, we're not even going to bother. We'll just go somewhere else for the day, or we'll cancel.
Cut your losses. Yeah.
Aye, definitely. But you've also got, it does show you how quick it can turn. Now, we've to this extent, because it definitely got turned around. But think back to the craft beer and food truck festival thing, with the hiccups that it had to start with. Now, that was an absolute godsend. Obviously, the weather, a wee bit, it wasn't great. The weather was pretty good, especially on the day I was there. Once I managed to get my new front door locked. they managed to turn that around, and it did go pretty well, but it could have totally fell off a cliff. It wouldn't have been long for that to collapse on its arse with that beginning, which was sketchy. Yeah.
But the problems there were of a technical nature, and that was evident. That was people that couldn't buy the product. That was the problem.
They couldn't load up their.
It was nothing to do with the staff, or it was nothing to do with the product. That
I just mean it like if you get two or three things go against you, including a brand new concept for loading tokens or whatever as well.
Yeah.
And then loads of wee weird, you throw in some weird fucking.
And the thing is, it's not like
T's and C's or whatever.
This festival didn't throw money at it. They had a fucking. They made an app that you could put in your phone and you could get all the beers and get all the information and blah, blah, blah. And it was all there in an app, which never got updated throughout the festival. One Twitter member who responded to my comment, asking for their comments was, it was absolutely not worth £40. The keg bar was closed. The cask bar was closed at 8:30. The only decent beer available was from a few independent brewers who had decided to stick around. Half had already left. No atmosphere, no one there, just awful.
Full abandonment.
Keg and cask, you said no early. Cask to begin with, but then shutting early is tough.
And it's bad. It must be bad if even the fucking... The brewers who have maybe put their hand...
to be there probably brewed extra beer just to be there, right. Or kept beer back for a supplier or somebody else that was going to take it.
Well, and probably they have paid for it.
But the amount of breweries that we've spoken to about festivals, you don't make money at a festival.
No,
basically you're basically giving your beer away. It's
marketing budget, mate.
It's all about presence. It's all about people. Coming to your stand and trying your beer, exposure to new customers. That's why you're going to these festivals and to network with other breweries, arrange collaborations, you know, speak to people like us, you know, to try and enhance your brand, etc., etc., etc. So, why would you want, if you were a brewery, an independent brewery, why would you want to tap a keg that you could take back and put in your own tap room? You know,
exactly. Other comments or quotes from X or Twitter. One individual has written, "I don't think I have been to a worse organised event. The term 'couldn't organise a piss out in a brewery' was made for this festival. Mid-session, there was less than 100 people. The signs of the cask and keg were too small to read at any distance." He goes on to say, "People pouring at the bar had no knowledge of any of the beers and no info on the app at all. For the entry fee of £20 to drink out of plastic, beer costs in town prices, and some of the brewers had packed up and left hours before the end, left me feeling like I'd been ripped off." I think you have.
So there you go, £20 to get in the door, and you're drinking out of plastic. And
you would always drink in plastic cups. That's
pish, mate. Because we were at the festival in that exact location, drinking out of glass.
Yeah, that was glass, mate.
And me and Scott went to the SIBA festival at Murrayfield, and we went to the SIBA festival at Ibrox, and got a tumbler, got an actual glass on both occasions.
Okay. Yeah, so, I understand that. Fair enough. It's obviously cost effective to get the reusables rather than
for glass.
And the glass, the plastic cups actually look quite smart when I seen them with the branding and all that on it. I thought they look really good. Aye.
So like they've spent a wee bit of money, because they're not going to be
cheap. Like
they're not going to be cheap, and you're sorting your output's not going to be cheap. That venue itself can't be cheap either, because that's a vast fucking venue. And to staff it, and
even
security.
With the badminton players propping up the other side,
it's going to be relatively dear. So I'll be surprised if they got their money back. They did
games of sharp tennis.
Exactly. As I mentioned, funnily enough, they didn't come back with a comment or want to say anything back to us. I approached them on Twitter, on Instagram, and emailed them.
Did they know that we're a top 10 in the world beer podcast?
Well, they fucking will when they find that they're on this. They did comment back to a reply, or they did reply, excuse me, to a comment, I should say, on Twitter. They said, "For the first time in our history, we have held the awards in Manchester this year, and we felt that it would be good to bring the entries from around the world to the consumer." I'm going to touch on that in a second, because there's something I want to mention there. They go on to say, "As a first-time festival, we underwent a steep learning curve and believe we adapted to deliver a better model as the event progressed. Certainly, should we organise an event to follow the 2026 awards, all of the learnings and your feedback will be taken into account." End quote.
So you can
just to go back to the first bit of that quote, they mentioned about beers and entries from around the world. I seen a comment on the old Twitteroo saying that there was not a single fucking beer outside of the UK available.
Handy. Well, maybe no international brewery.
I mean, the UK is in the world.
Mm-hmm. True.
Yeah, if you're in Manchester and you're drinking a beer from Norwich, it has definitely come from another part of the world.
Yeah, exactly. What did they ask?
Just like if you were in Manchester and you were drinking a beer from Salford, it's come from another part of the world. Doesn't matter if it's 10 miles down the road.
Don't think.
What did you guys learn? One of the biggest learning curves you need to take on board is not to tell lies.
Yes.
100%.
But the thing is, well, even if you do fuck up, just fucking put your hands up and go, "Right, apologies, that was a wee bit shit. Yeah. That went wrong, and just own up to it.
That's what they've tried to do. It's the coming out, like, we were trying, here's the high hopes that we had, kind of thing. Right. We get the high hopes for.
I was just going to say, they could have just been like, thank you so much, like, to these breweries. We're going to pay you for whatever beer they get, we get ready right now, and you just say the beer's free. Yeah. Come in and let's showcase folks' beer and just have a good old jolly.
Yeah.
But again, that's costly. And, you know, if they've had issue upon issues, having keg issues at a festival is the biggest no-no going. Because let's be honest, they would have had, if the breweries were involved, there would have been a technician squad of whether it's from the breweries. But if you're organising a festival, you've got folk on hand all day to ensure draft is pouring, because it's really easy for stuff to get, like, a line to get clogged or a gas leak or something like that you can, like, or anything that can stop beer pouring. But to not have get a keg beer pouring is an absolute, like, no-no, basically, from a festival point.
Another negative comment which has just come to mind was, so there was, like, a trade session. I think it was the Thursday afternoon or whatever it was. But all the trade goes... So the other part, if I track back a little bit, another part of the festival was, like, live music. So there's a lot of live bands and stuff, but the live bands were also playing at the trade event, and people were complaining. This is almost like an old fart fucking moan. Folk were complaining the music was too loud and we couldn't hear each other speak. So it's almost like a mix of a camera event and, like, a We Are Beer event, and they've tried to sit somewhere in the middle but not quite found where the fucking middle is and just fucked it up.
There is.
Which could have been good, though. If you find the good middle bit, then it could be good.
You know, good beer festivals are, like, you know, there needs to be more. It's as simple as that. And in Manchester, of all cities in the UK, you know, it's a great central location for folk to get to, you know, from all over the world. You know what I mean? But
it's unfortunate for them. Like, when people pay 30, 20, 30, 40 quid and they go, this is a wee bit shit, shall we just go to Cloudwater track or fucking Sure Shot? three of the best brews in the country. I think I'm going to go there.
Say, if people went there, then the only silver lining is that the other places in Manchester that do really good beer, whether it be the Northern Monk Refectory or those three breweries you mentioned or elsewhere in Manchester, basically did a great turn at the weekend. I hope the people stayed in Manchester and went out and had a good time at some of the other places that Manchester's got to offer. And they benefited from others. I hope they stayed. I hope beer won. I hope they stayed in Manchester and went out somewhere else that
suited. Beer is the winner.
I just hope that the thing is, they're going to get tarnished with a really shit festival, okay? And they can say all they want about learning curves, and the next time is going to be better. But, you know, it's the whole thing. You get tarnished with a shit beer, you know, folk tend to keep your arms in. Yeah. You know, so it might be, it honestly might be worth them, you know, rejigging the model a little bit. Well, possibly, but, you know, thinking about the actual setup, thinking about how they're charging people, thinking about how how are they going to give the customers the best experience possible?
Mm-hmm.
And if that is going down the We Are Beer route with keeping the price high, or just saying, look, you know, we've got award-winning beer because of X, Y, and Z, let's showcase that and do it another way.
Like, for me, like, see, I agree with you there fucking 100%, because if it was an event where you'd paid 40 quid and your beer was already paid for, I guarantee most of those people would have just hung about because they're like, fuck it, the beer's paid. We're going to get essentially free beer. It's no free beer. We know it's not, because it's built in your ticket, but folk probably would have kicked about.
Hey, that's folk like us, though, mate. That's folk like us that could maybe.
Jakey's.
I mean, we could have done. We could have made content. We could have went and tried all the different beers, regardless of how good or bad they were. You know, that's content for us. But if you're rooting for a session with your pals, I'm no fucking sitting in some warehouse.
Also,
empty.
To your point there, like, if it is the way it is, and you're out with your pals and stuff, and you've got Sure Shot and track up the road. I mean, fuck. Yeah, okay. I've just finished their second birthday fucking triple hopped IPA. I mean,
I think you've got to, like, when you're thinking about it from, you know, we're expecting, you know, like, you know, we know Track and Cloudwater are in Manchester, but the folk that are going to this, like, I'd never heard of this festival before, yeah, right? That. So, but so there's a reason for that,
yeah,
you know, that we've never heard of it. Now, whether that's, well, you know, it's in Manchester, but this is an award that obviously takes place every 2 years by the sounds of it,
mm-hmm.
where they're showcasing and awarding breweries and cider makers and other, mm-hmm. other what for making quality beer. Now, if you're showing up to this festival, you are either aware of the awards in mm-hmm. its entirety, so you're thinking, oh, I really like Name the Brewery, and they won an award, so let's go along and drink some of their stuff.
Yeah.
Or you're like, oh, there's a beer festival on today, let's go, right? If you're in that camp, I think you're more unlikely to have been like, oh, shit, this is really bad.
Yeah.
Right, as in, like, really negative right away, because you're thinking, there's no keg, there's casks off, we're getting bottled beer that I can buy, all that kind of stuff. But if you went because your favourite brewery, and I don't know who won awards, but anyway, if you were going there, you would have a wee bit of sympathy for the brewery, right? And you would have been sitting there like saying, oh, God, I wish I could try, or can we get some, or can we do... Right, so there'd be a slight bit in the window where you'd probably not be that bothered until you were like, I'm really getting nothing. And the fact that it was freezing and, you know, and brewery started leaving as well, I think it's just like... I think it's
some
just
of the breweries that were listed as attending, as independents, were Northern Monk, Tartless. I'm just going to give you the ones that I recognize, because Vocation were there, and then that's Hogshead Brewery, and then that's the last of the ones that I recognize. All the other ones are breweries that I've never heard of, or never Fog Brewery, never heard of them. Geopole,
but you know that it's a big cast town.
If it's cast, you know you're.
Yeah, exactly.
This is what I'm saying about cat. Like, see the we've been to the two SIBA festivals, right? Mm-hmm. And the first festival, the venue was the issue. It wasn't the beer, and it wasn't the staff. The second one was brilliant. It was brilliant, and
mm-hmm.
when you're charging £10. 15 at the most for a ticket, you have no expectations other than we're going to a space to enjoy some beer try and enjoy some beer. So if you go to one of these places and the beer's shit, the atmosphere's shit, it's no costing you anything to fuck off. That's what you need for you know.
Yeah.
And unless you can boast, like, say your VR beer events, unless you can boast we have the biggest and best breweries in the country guaranteed to be pouring fresh keg beer at this festival, I'm not paying £40 a ticket for it.
No.
If you're showcasing local independent breweries, just get me in the door. Get me in the door with a relatively low entry fee.
And let me give them my money.
And let me spend my money. Let me spend my money. Whether that's tokens or however you want to fucking do it, right? That's fine. But That's the best way to do it. And
I think they need to go back to the drawing board and figure it out again. I don't think, like I said, I think the middle ground between a camera and a We Are Beer event, there is something there to what you were saying there, Callum. And it's just get folk in the door and just.
I just think it's such a slim margin, though, because
100%
as soon as you start edging towards the craft, the cask side of things, you're gonna start attracting people who aren't really interested in, you know, a live music or a party atmosphere or anything like that. We're there for the beer. We
want to sit with our spreadsheets.
You know, which isn't a bad thing. You know, I didn't get me wrong. It's not a bad thing.
It's fucking awesome.
We did something pretty similar when we were at Ibrox. I mean, you go with the menu and you go and find a beer that you want to try, and you write your notes on it, and
It's not even that. Remember when we were at fucking the Bone S one? The stupid notes we wrote.
Completed as well.
But yeah, it's... completed it.
Now, it's across when the road, mate. It's the perfect venue.
Travel 10 yards.
I draw the line at Cagoulery. I'm out. As soon as you, whenever you pull out the... I've turned the insert out of my jacket to arrive here. I've turned the inside out of my burkus to arrive here. I'm giving... Berkus is too snazzy. Jack Hoppers.
Oh, I thought you were going to go with North Face or something.
It's worse than that. It's Crag Hopper. Crag Hoppers, Regatta, Mountain Caramore. Warehouse. Yeah. Yeah. Trespass. Ten of the best.
Trespass, Christ. So that was the IBC Festival in Manchester, just gone. Like I said, end up being a little bit of a shit show. A dance squib. Indeedly do.
Augustus Gluck was not amused.
Not amused at all. Let's whiz around and see what we're drinking because there's a couple other burning subjects on my list here that I want to make sure we talk about, including Ibria and Beer 52.
How many of them have you got a doctor's appointment for?
Five. Callum?
Yes.
Two are burning, three are not burning.
Thanks. Get some Savlon on that, son.
Yes, what you got, son?
I have opened up Precipice Trail as he moves me around. Trail, which is a DDH pale, 5.3%. And
is that for the marble?
This is marble. And this one has Equinox, Eldorado, Lemon Drop, and Mosaic, which is a hot bill from heaven for me. Equinox and Eldorado are two of my favourite hops, and the Lemon Drop just gives that kind of citrusy sweetness, which is just fabulous. It's really soft, it's got a cracking body, 5.3%, but it's not too heavy, so you could properly smash this beer, really, really smash it, and it's delicious. It wouldn't get too... It's complex enough, it's got a lovely floral, sort of almost herby quality about it. It's giving me kind of like lemon verbena or lemon thyme vibes, and it's interesting and complex enough that it's I don't think it would get samey like a lot of craft beers that you drink that are your hazy pails or whatever you might get a bit fed up with. This is, as I say, it's interesting and complex enough that it keeps you coming back. It's delicious.
No, I agree there, mate. That's one of the that beer there. That's the one that I thought you're going to save for your trip away because that's a really I thoroughly enjoyed that beer.
I'm saving. There's one that's really interesting. I don't know if you've heard it, Gab. It's an Earl Grey IPA.
I've not had that one yet because I'm scared to have it.
Well, it's dry hopped with Earl Grey, and I like that kind of bergamot floral citrus vibe that you get from Earl Grey. At least the smell, I enjoy the smell. My mum occasionally drinks Earl Grey tea, and I like the smell. It's got a lovely aroma, so it'd be really interesting. And it's a 6% IPA as well, so it's no being paired in some wishy washy fucking piss water of a beer. No. So I'm really looking forward to that one.
It's in the fridge. It's ready to go for the weekend.
And two West Coast IPAs in that box as well.
Aye, one's a session one though. That's
one's 5%, one's 6%.
One's 5, one's aye. Well, aye, in fairness, the session one is 5, which is ridiculous.
That's Pack-a-Mac right there.
That is Pack-a-Mac. Oh,
definitely came out of pack.
He enjoys an Earl Grey beer.
Yeah.
Aye.
Fucking
he's never after the Earl Grey.
But that's Andrew Fisher if I've ever seen it.
That is Andrew.
Currency of millets.
I've seen Fisher's doppelganger at the train station this morning. I'm going to need to try and get a syrup. No, seriously, I'm going to need to try and get a surreptitious photo of this boy. I've seen him for about 25 yards away, and I thought that's Fisher. And I started fucking walking up the platform, and I got to about 10 yards away. I was like, oh no, it's not.
He's not.
I bought.
He didn't have Crocs on. I should have. It should have been straight up.
Is he wearing Crocs that have their own bum bag? No.
Exactly. Ridiculous set of footwear.
This is the footwear that I've currently got on. So.
That's dad sliders.
At least you've colour matched them to your top half.
Exactly. Gil, Mark, you switched over beers?
I'm on same.
I'm finished. I opened another beer because you were talking bruiser boxes, so I felt...
What'd you get?
It would have been a miss if I didn't open and show you one from mine. So this Loof. Is... I got Farmyard. So this is Loof. Loof? Mm. That's a name. Loof. Say Loof. Loof. So this is Loof. It is their German-style Pilsner. 4%, and it was super crispy. Super enjoyable. It's a German-style Pilsner from Lancashire. A light and fruity aroma with subtle orange zest notes on the palate, lengthy lagering process makes this a crisp and refreshing Pilsner. Pairs well with England versus Germany in any international tournament. Is the wagon on
there? Is that actually on the wagon?
It's on the last sentence. Pairs well with England versus Germany in any international tournament. It was lovely.
Is it not boring and then at the end slightly disappointing? Is that not what?
No.
But then a wee bit of condescending as well.
Aye, it's the bright spark in an otherwise turgid affair, I'd say. That particular event, that particular fixture.
Have you been impressed with your Farmyard box so far, Scott?
I am. What I was, you mentioned kind of, and we've said it loads of times, to the point whereby if there's not a t-shirt on it, I'll be upset. Yeah. The no thinking, drinking thing. And that's what the Farmyard box is. I think the highest percentage ABV wise is 5.8%. A couple of collaborations in there, two or three different pails, a lager. There's a stout in there, obviously. It's chaff, I think. Is that right? Might be a pail. There's a stout in there, all around about the kind of between 4% and 5% mark. As I say, there's one pushes it up to nearly 6%, which is an IPA. They've all been excellent. Just really good. Flavoursome, tasty. It's like an amped up version of the pale you would like to drink kind of most times at the weekend, if you like. Has been the majority of the beers that I've had so far. That lager was the first different style that I've had. So I mean, kind of, it's been pales and IPAs, but it was a randomizer box, so I didn't need to choose Farmyard. It just randomly
selected.
I'm not disappointed at all by Farmyard. It was great. Well, has been great so
Gavin's moved on also, and he's either getting some pleasure below camera line, or he's having a beergasm.
He's having a lovely, suspiciously having a tremendous thimble, is he?
It's a suspiciously golden track can.
I noticed my shoulders were very tense. This is actually my first gold top.
Ever.
I don't think I've ever heard of.
You're a gold top virgin?
I'm a gold top virgin. Track gold top virgin, that's for sure.
Ladies with gold top have been abused. Not abused.
58 minutes and 43 seconds. Right,
elevation.
You too.
Yep. Gold Top Dipper, Nelson Sovin, Pacific Sunrise, Racal Sub Zero, Racal Sub Zero Hopkeef, pardon me, and Strata CGX at 8.4%. This is like apricot and fucking mango. Fucking full-bodied, thick as motherfucking hell, hoppy as shit. The Nelson is coming through like a storm in the back. This beer is ridiculous. And if this is what Gold Top is all about, I am fucking in. I would love to just have a... Bruiser boys, see if you can get a fucking just a Gold Top box. I'll give you...
Six cans.
I'll give you 50 quid.
About like four cans, or 8.5% or something. I am in.
I'll give you 50 quid for that.
There isn't a better brewery in the UK now. I just, you know.
Oof.
There isn't, mate. Every single beer I have from Track is just sets you levels.
It's like, I can't. I know I'm using little stupid thimble glasses tonight, but that, like, how thick is that?
Yeah, you could stand a spoon up in that, like.
Fucking insane.
Very good stuff.
Like, loving
and
it. Maybe
the best session beer. They've got the best. They've already got the best session beer wrapped up, and all the dippers and stuff I've had. I mean, that Aussie stuff that the Aussie collab stuff they brought at the black cans. Every single one of them's been tremendous.
Right. I passed Sonoma, up a can. I passed up a can of Sonoma to get that instead. I was like, I'm going to pass on that. I'm going to go for your Go Top instead.
Right.
And I'm fucking glad I did.
The only question I've got to ask is, why did you not buy both?
Because I bought Elusive and I brought three. I got a Sure Shot. So I need to spread the love a wee bit. Spread That's the good. Love a little bit.
All within spitting distance of one another and enjoyed exactly. The other end of the country if we were produced quite good.
Local. Mm-hmm. Right. Let's go with the next topical subject before we go fucking way too long.
Quickfire the two topics. What are we on?
I don't know if we can quickfire this, but we can maybe do 10-15 minutes. So Ebria, if you don't know, are a supplier, or kind of a middleman is probably the best way, or we're a middleman is the best way to describe it in terms of getting beer in and around the country and getting...
They're a wholesaler, mate.
Wholesaler, yes. Thank you. And they went
so they'll sell to shops and
on trade, and they went pop, and Beer 52 have stepped in,
swooped
right in,
like the vulture. And, I mean,
no,
these
you're right there. And they have
picked the vultures
up,
of the beer industry.
Yes, and they have taken over Ebria, and they're going to be doing on trade by the looks of things. The consequence to that has been that breweries and independent breweries who have been part of the Ebria infrastructure are getting shafted, basically, and aren't going to get paid. They might get paid, but they won't know until about 8 weeks' time. So there's a strong chance, if you're a lover of craft beer and you listen to the podcast, you'll evidently follow these breweries on Instagram and Twitter, and you've probably seen some posts going, look, we've been fucked over. We're not going to get paid, so if you want to support the brewery, really be nice if you could buy some beer. These breweries are expecting payment for the beers that they've sent out, and they're not going to get it. They have been shafted massively.
So they've sold beer to Ebria, and Beer 52 aren't going to honour those sales.
It's not necessarily that. It's because they bought it over. It's not Beer 52's problem. Aye. It's the administrators to decide what happens.
It's a hangover for Ebria mismanagement or putting too much, basically not being solvent.
Yeah.
It's the same with Linehan. It's just that they've brought it and they're the face, so they look like the ones that are holding things up, and it's not necessarily them. It's just it's a consequence of any transition between A and B.
So am I sticking that burden on Beer 52, because I know it's got absolutely F all to do with them in terms
those
of
those of paying. Us neck deep in high end face painting will remember a certain transition between one old co club and another club back a few years ago that resulted in non payment. So and exactly. The face painting world still reels with that particular scenario.
We've seen
disappointed Wayne's out there with half tigers on their faces. And...
I know, exactly. But we've seen a lot of breweries who are attached to Ebria are now pulling out from that agreement and pulling out away from Ebria completely. And there's been a massive kind of overall kind of fallout.
A bit of a backlash.
It just goes to show how precarious it is being a brewery and. Mm-hmm. You think you've made it,
you think you'll get paid for it.
Well, that's it. And these guys are planning, you know, sometimes 12 months in advance, they're planning the breweries and you know, what you need to realise is that if you're drinking a beer today that was bottled yesterday, that beer was brewed you know, 2 weeks ago.
Mm-hmm.
So the order was placed for the grain and the hops, you know, a month ago or 6 weeks ago or 2 months ago and yeah. paid for then. You know, so you, these guys are buying tons of grain. They're spending thousands and thousands of pounds on ingredients and time and, you know, staff because they think that I'm going to brew this, you know, 2,000 litres of this beer because it's going to yeah. sell to this company and it's already been sold. But suddenly it's not sold anymore. I've still got the ingredients. I've still made the beer. They still have the beer. I'm not going to get my fucking money. So well, it's
the beer's sold, been you know, sold, though. That's the thing, mate. EBD have passed it on to the pub. The pub has mm-hmm. sold the beer. The pub's made mm-hmm. the money. EBD mm-hmm. has got their cut off the back of that because it's been sold mm-hmm. through, but because of payment terms, which are normally, I'm just going to say, 90. I was going to say 90 days, aye, but you know,
aye.
30 days if you're lucky. But, yeah. You know,
It begs the question. Where is the legislation and where is the regulation? Yeah. And that whole industry. How is that allowed?
But that's how the same that? In most industries, though, isn't it?
I know. I mean, if you think about whether you're paying you're selling cars,
Tesco, if you're going to, you know,
my line of work coming through,
you know,
everything you're out 90 days, a lot mm-hmm. of standard payment terms are 30, 60, or 90. If you get 30, you're on to a winner. But it's standard across most industries, it's, you've yeah. got payment terms. So, but you've got to pay. You didn't get what you don't get. Is when you're buying your ingredients, the payment terms didn't work that way. So the producer of the finished product has got a 30, 60, 90 days before payment standard normally.
Mm.
But when it comes to paying for the ingredients, until such time as you have an account or you benefit from any potential discount that brings you, the expected payment's immediate. So until you build a bit of a rapport with whoever your supplier is for the raw materials, you're on your immediate payment. You're a pro forma minus plus whatever the wages to pay it, your time to make it, all that kind of stuff. So you're at a huge deficit.
Which again,
you just call yourself back to zero.
It weights the industry in favour of the big boys because, you know, your Molson Coors, your Budweiser, your Anheuser-Busch.
Mm-hmm.
These guys are you know, they're requisitioning fucking hundreds and thousands and tons of grain, you know, before it's even sown. You know, before the farmer even plants it in the field, it's sold because Anheuser-Busch are going to buy fucking every piece of grain that I'm going to grow this year. So, you know, whereas independent brewer has got to go to a malter, has got to go to, you know,
there is a
producer and say, give me a ton of grain, and they're saying, right, well, that'll be fucking £10,000 or whatever it is, you know.
There is so many breweries that you'll know and love listening to this podcast that are being affected by this, who are assuming they're going to get a payment for the beer, as Mark said, that's already been sent to a bar and already been sold, and
mm-hmm.
The bar's got their cut, Ebre have got their cut, but yet to get their cut is the actual makers of it. Like the likes of Neon Raptor, Williams Bros, Full Circle, Wild Child, the list is endless on
because of the precarious nature of being a small independent brewery, mm-hmm. this could be the difference between survival and
100%.
Well, yeah. some of these deals are going to be one or two kegs, right? And the brewery is going to swallow up.
We're not going to blow it too far out of proportion. But
no, but what I'm saying is, like, on some of the occasion that's going to be. But some of these breweries, whether it is or not, Ibria may be their biggest distributor.
Yep.
Right, mm-hmm. because it's a platform that is, and I know it's not easy to get involved with, which is another downside. And again, that's for another conversation, another day. But you know, it could be the because getting a distributor, like doing direct delivery, is great if you've got a van and you're brewing and you're going along the road. But as soon as you start expanding, and you know, looking at different areas. Paying for a delivery driver, a van, the maintenance, the staff to put it all in, all that kind of stuff. Getting it to and from, you can only do it one day, 2 days, three, whatever day it is during the week, it makes your life quite difficult. But having a distributor that you can say, by the way, we've got kegs sitting in their warehouse or on their floor, wherever it may be, that when an order comes in, boff, same day or next day delivery out. That would be a lot of these breweries, and I'm not saying that their only way of getting beer to the on-trade, but it might be like, you know, 50-60% off there, which if on those occasions, this is where the whole shit hitting the fan thing is making it really difficult, because, you know, you could be talking about, you know, you could be talking about a couple of grand and a couple of grand to, you know, the listeners, you know, it's a lot of money, but, you know, and like you think, oh, a brewery will be able to swallow that up, no bother. But when you're running on the person that makes the least money on the beer when it goes through distro is the brewery. You know, I have this conversation all the time, and I'll save this for another episode. But like the amount of times I say, "Oh, you can sell you make more money on my beer than I do." You know, it's quite frightening. You know, what that time is, it comes scary. Back.
It's scary.
So, I do agree with what Gav said that, you know, if one of your favorite breweries is kind of posted something around this, and the tricky thing about it is, as a consumer, you've probably paid for the pint already. You know, you've bought the beer. It's just that you're doing the right thing when you're in the pub. Oh, Neon Raptors on tap. Brilliant. Let me get a wee pint of that. Oh, Williams Bros. Oh, their new beer's quite nice. So let me give a wee try of that. And then it's not until something like this highlights, you know, that, and again, this is going to tee into a really good episode like down the line, because all this stuff is like teed up perfectly. Yeah. But it's the maze that goes from behind the pub to the brewery is frightening. And at the end of the day, you know, we always say that you've got to support the breweries. And, you know, you've got to support your local pub too, because that's another topic for another day. But
I think the main thing, if you have a favourite brewery out there, whether it be local or further away, who are based in the UK and have been affected by this, and you've seen that through their social media posts, or you've spoken to them face to face and they've mentioned that that has happened, this is the fucking time that they're going to need you to go and buy beer direct.
If
you can, go online, even if it is through Bruiser. If you are a Bruiser subscriber and that's the only way you get your craft beer each month, pick them for that month, and grab hold of their beer through that avenue. It's
another option if you do have a bit of money. And again, I'm going way off left field, as Mark usually does here. But go and buy yourself go and buy yourself a secondhand Linder unit, or there's another unit, I can't remember the name of it, but it's the same deal, kegerator, and go and ask your local brewery if you can buy kegs for them directly. 30 litres, 20 litres, 50 litres of some of your favourite breweries. I know that's a lot of beer to get through, right? But if it's kegged properly and all the rest of it, and it's poured through a proper machine, it will last, you know, weeks. Like, as long as you, like, and then clear the line out afterwards. It is a big expense, I get it. But the keg is king. You know, package is great, and that's what we all see every day of the week, but keg is king. It's the premium version of any style of beer. It's what it was made for, pressurized, delicious, all that kind of stuff that you want, right? So, again, if you look up a Linder unit, they're no cheap, and, you know, I get that, but it's something to think about as well.
Yeah, totally. So, see, from a sort of layman's perspective, if I'm in, obviously it's all subject to contracts and conditions, and so just on a sort of broad estimation side of that's the word I was looking for, Gav, generalisation. If I'm in a pub and I'm buying a pint of, let's just pluck a brewery, Neon Raptor, I'm drinking a pint of Neon Raptor IPA, and it's £7 for that pint. What percentage of that pint is going back to Neon Raptor?
I don't know, like 15.
I was going to say 10. 10. Right.
There you go.
But, fuck you know, being a brewery.
Many marks, many marks up.
Well, it's, there's so many steps in between.
There's the steps in between. Like, wow.
You know,
this is a half pint ideas convo, mate. It's perfect. And as I say, I've got a couple of sales pals that are going to like help break it down as well, because it's really interesting when you go back, but it's so important to kind of think that way. The thing is, once you're paying it, the pub's making the money, £7 a pint, you know, the GP that a pub's trying to make is probably about 75-78%. Right, so there you go, right off the bat. So again, the reason I'm like trying to hold my tongue a little bit is because if I've got other people in the industry, I'm not going to take all the backlash off anything that comes in. So take anything I say with a bit of a pinch of salt on the terms of
that's what I think it's like what you said there. I think it's perfect for that other setting that we have at the moment of the half point ideas, which is a series that's going to be exclusively available on YouTube and on the Patreon. There is one Half Pint Ideas episode up currently, and if you listened to last week's episode, you would have got a sneak peek into that. So by all means, there's a strong chance that episode 2 of Half Pint Ideas will be indulging a little bit more than that. It's a fucking...
It's a great combo.
From what I've mentioned to you and speaking to other people, it is an absolute fucking minefield.
The thing is, it's so important.
Back to what you were saying, Callum, sorry, Mark, that with the guys like legislation and shit, it's fucking boff. Mind blown.
It's
far easier just to drink the fucking stuff.
It's super easy just to fucking drink the fucking thing. Moving on. Another topic. This one will be super quick. So we mentioned about a beer festival that was shit and kind of failed to hit the mark and was almost a Willy Wonka style of beer festival. And sad news that we're losing an actual good beer festival. Indie Man Beer Con is no more. They announced this week that there's not going to be another one. Sadly, which was it's a shame because it's one in terms of the industry calendar was a standout and one
long standing, isn't it? A decade old.
Yeah, it's been going for quite a while. Yeah,
on my list to go to as well because I've never had a chance to go to it. And all the you see all the Instagrammers and podcasters and beer influencers going there. And I'm like, fam, motherfuckers, hate you guys. It looks so fucking good, proper FOMO, big time FOMO. And that's just going to have to last forever, unfortunately, because it's no more. So they've announced this week that that's coming to an end, which is sad.
It's a shame.
Flip side, there is some good news in the world of beer, would you fucking believe? There's not much.
We'll get there eventually.
The good news is Northern Monk this week, in fact, not even this week, about 6 hours ago of recording this podcast, are getting a 500k investment. The investor has not been announced to that person or bank or whoever the fuck it is, has not been put their name forward to it yet. Like I said, this is literally like 6 hours old, but it's Northern Monk are going to be expanding their capacity.
As long as it's project, no seven, I was going to say there, but as long as it's the patron projects, thank you. Yeah,
well, you can, it's not going to be that.
No more shitey supermarket beer.
Keep the lights on expansion. I didn't mind the supermarket stuff. Name stop your collaborations with food providers. food providers.
It's the Aunt Bessie shit. That's the fucking...
I mean, now, if you wanted to do a quick fit collaboration or a, like, I don't know, a screw fix one, go for it. But leave Bessie where she is.
All right.
And name your Seabrooks ones either. need the ones crisp flavored beer.
No, exactly.
Well, no crisp flavored beer. Just give me a packet of crisps. If you want to collaborate
with my beer. Crisps,
ah, if you want to sell it,
if you buy
a bag
this
of
can,
crisps,
you can get a fucking 6-pack of McCoy's.
Bingo! That's how you do your.
For most crisps. People would go on a 1-to-1 ratio, but we're forgetting it's you.
That's very true. Adnam.
Fucking Edward crisp pans.
Adnams are also doing a rebrand, which is announced this week, which has been compared to a library bookshelf. Apparently, Ghost Ship and all the other beers look like novels.
That sounds
all right. I'm neither here nor there about it, to be honest. It's not going to.
But then again, does that and this is, isn't it to sound bad, but that's very much my opinion of Adnams.
Yeah, exactly.
neither here nor there.
Like, I wouldn't. Like, I've had the opportunity to Ghost Ship, and I'm sure it's on Perfect Draft or has been on Perfect Draft or something like that before. Right. If not, definitely mini kegs and things like that. And I've just thought, Sorry, you're not my scene.
Speaking of Perfect Draft, I know we're like wrapping up, but speaking of Perfect Draft,
no, I've got one other thing.
They're going to fall off the face of the earth, aren't they?
Mm. Well, no,
I think they might disappear.
No, they might, but fair enough, I suppose. I picked up the triple. This week, and I was trying. I can't remember the name of it, but the triple. What's it called?
Cumbernauld.
Carmelite.
Carmelite. That's it. Yeah.
That's the one.
No, you say it. That's it. That's definitely it. The Belgian triple.
That's funny. Cumbernauld.
Talking about the big thing with the Belgian stuff is everybody. I've seen it. The reason I was thinking they might be, it was somebody posted on the Perfect Draft group on Facebook saying that.
Oh, after, you're not on a Perfect Draft.
Anyway, that group must be full of fucking melt.
Oh, no, it's not. It's just Perfect Draft enthusiasts. Everybody that posts on it has got 4 Perfect Drafts.
Right.
all with different skins. The perfect draft drinker's perfect beer is the original Stella. Belgian Stella. Like
it doesn't matter how you fucking wrap it up. They changed it
and they started having it was like UK brewed version of Stella, basically. Everybody was up and uproar at it, but the reason that basically people have seen their delivery stuff go all haywire or other place. There was these things called, there must have been Perfect Draft points or something like that. They used to be a point scheme that all kind of fell by the wayside. And then now it's they've got this thing where all of a sudden Belgian Stella started making a reappearance for somewhere, and they wonder whether that was kind of the cry of this is game over, because that was starting to be, they were starting to find kegs of that lying about. And just starting to put that out on delivery as opposed to the stuff that was made in the UK. So I don't know, but
yeah, Budvar on that would be.
I know.
I mean, that's never going to happen, is it?
Nope.
Listen, the day I can wander up there and get something for get nip into Kegmart when I'm up at the tip, drop them in some cardboard and pick up a wee Budvar or something like that. That would be lovely. But anything, love a Kegmart stop.
I've got lager and I've got the bit of the triple for the weekend. So
I've a vocation.
Ooh. Right, last thing.
Hang on, get us finished. Get us
last thing on my list. Last
take us round. Take us home. Come on.
Last thing on my list is
with these topics, man.
Ah, well, fuck me for writing stuff down. I know. Big Swally.
I know.
Otherwise, we'd just talk about fucking nonsense.
When is the Big Swally, Gavin?
The week on Friday,
there you go.
Yes, the week on Friday, the 5th of April.
You cunts are going, I'm not going, I don't give a fuck. Are we looking forward to it?
And it's going to be tremendous, yes. And we had a lovely social media update from the Caledonian Colin. Craft beer merchant.
Red Carpet Colin. Red Carpet Colin.
We spoke about his collaboration with Vault City and the festival that they're doing in October this year in Edinburgh. He's also done a collaboration brew for the Big Swally next week, and it's called Big Swally. It's a 6% IPA, and the hops...
Is it called Big Swally?
Yes.
Are you sure it's called Big Swally?
No. Is it not called CCBM?
Is it called, not called the CCBM?
No. Is it not Big Swally?
No, it's called the CCBM.
Big Swally was the last one, you know?
This is why we should...
This is why you should do your research.
Whenever I'm
it's your festival.
Whenever I'm required to speak, it's it's called the CBM. and the hot bill reflects this. And it's Citra Cryo Brew One and Mosaic. It's a 6% IPA. And it's called, just for avoidance of doubt, it's called the CCBM. And it's available on can from Overtone, and it's also going to be pouring at the festival next week. And I might have said that it was a collaboration with Vault City, but it's not. It's a collaboration with Overtone. I'm a bit half got.
That's the second. This will be the second collaboration with Overtone, because it was Overtone last year as well.
It was, and last year it was called the Big Swally.
Exactly. You weren't wrong. You were just a wee bit wrong.
Just as with most things, living ever so slightly in the past. Nostalgia. I'm looking forward to it. It should be a good festival. The venue's brilliant.
Yes.
Two separate rooms and stuff. The food's always good. I don't know what food options are. I've not looked it up. I'm not going to pretend just make it up. There are definitely hundreds of chips. Memory serves correctly, there was some top-notch curry, and there was also some macaroni cheese, I think, as well.
Gravy, yeah. It was just the bee's knees. We'll maybe line up all some cans prior to the event.
Lineup is good. So final lineup is looking like Vault City, Admonson, Neon Raptor, Pomona Island, Cromarty, Her Boys Track, Tempest, Overtone, Wasted Degrees, Inner Bay. I feel like I need to say Inner Bay, like in an Irish accent.
Well, Inner Bay, it's actually...
Well, Inner Bay is five.
I know, but...
Yeah.
And it's their last... I'm so sad about that, but we're going to need to sample Inner Bay. They've unfortunately bit the dust, as have a lot of breweries, but they're going to honour... Their place, and we'll be looking forward to trying
Inner Bay,
a wee sip of history.
Alex, the waste degree Inner Bay and Brewton as well, who we may have in the podcast next week, by the way. Would you believe? It's looking good for the Big Swally. Obviously, they've got the bigger Swally later on in the year as well, which is looking awesome as well. The guys will be there, so if you see the guys kicking about at the Big Swally, by all means go over and say hi, grab a picture, they'll sign an autograph for £1 or just a beer. Just a beer. Carpet will be left.
Join us for the red carpet experience. Red carpet call.
Right, well, fucking whistle for that, I reckon. Whenever you listen to the podcast,
I'm cruising for a bruising. Never mind anything else.
By all means, whenever you listen, make sure you're subscribed, hit the ding and the ring to be notified of all the latest episodes. If you're watching on YouTube, please do so the same. Hit the follow button, hit subscribe, you'll be notified of every single episode we put out on the podcast. What are you pointing at?
The like button.
The subscribe button.
Oh, you're pointing at the buttons. Oh, sorry, guys. That's tremendous pointing. Yeah. Tremendous pointing skills. I like it a lot. You can also show your support by heading to patreon.com/beerfridgepodcast, where you can show your support officially for the podcast and get some exclusive content and some homebrew.
It's ready this weekend. It's getting tasty this weekend.
Boom, boom, boom. patreon.com/beerfridgepodcast. Like I said, make sure you go and visit our brewery partners in the form of McCall's, Sheepman Wolves Clothing, Mirakai, Stuart and Bayonet as well, making some fantastic motherfucking beers that you need to go and sample today.
Support your local breweries.
Indeedly do. I know McCall's have got an Easter special on. I think they've got 15% off over Easter. Go over to the website and go and check them out.
Free carrots for all your beers.
From myself, Gavin, Scott, Callum, and shut your fucking hole. From Mark as well, from the Beer Fridge Podcast, your home of real beer, real breweries, real opinions. Till next time, goodbye.